Welcome to the Wine and Gold Talk podcast on a Tuesday right around 4 o'clock p.m. Chris Fedor, Joe Vardin with you. We'll get to some of your questions. You guys have been sending those in on Twitter, so we appreciate that. But we have to kind of get through this a little bit quickly because you've got a flight to board, right, Joe? Big road trip coming up for the Cavs. Important one for sure.
Big road trip, Chris. You know, 6 games, 5 cities. I don't know how many flights, and the first one here is in a little bit, but you and I both have been busy working and doing all that stuff all day, so this is the time we have, and so we'll do our best.
All right, so last night the Cavs got a win against Detroit. It was a big win, 22-point win. They said it was one that they needed before going on this road trip, and then wake up this morning, we have a text from our boss. You had already posted the story on Cleveland.com about what Kevin Love decided to share for the Players Tribune, saying that he is somebody who already this year and in the past has dealt with panic attacks, and this is a battle that has been going on for a long time, and Kevin's somebody who's always been very private. He's been reluctant to share too many details about his own personal life, but said that this is a mental health issue that that is not just one that he's dealing with. It's a stigma preventing professional athletes from discussing and embracing this problem usually, and he wanted to be open and honest about it. So your reaction when you saw this Kevin Love penned essay from the Players Tribune?
Well, Chris, I mean, my reaction honestly was good. I'm glad that Kevin did this. I'm glad he did it this way. For entirely petty and selfish reasons, I wish that he would have sat down with me to do it. But listen, I mean, this is something that people close to the team, myself included, have known for a while, that Kevin was dealing with this. And as I mentioned in my piece today, at All-Star Weekend, the secret was circulating pretty rapidly to the point where someone not on our beat, someone who doesn't work with you and I, asked him during his media availability at All-Star Weekend if he, in fact, used Cavs provided mental health personnel, and he said that he did, and so that kind of raised eyebrows. This is something, again, that has been going on for a while on the team. It was essentially the root of the incident that, for brevity's sake, ripped this team apart, the January 22nd meeting. The panic attacks are why he left the queue and why he was not at practice the next day. Dwayne and Isaiah, demanding an explanation for where a teammate is, basically kind of forced Kevin into talking to his teammates about this. Most of them had no idea, and there you have it. I'm glad that it's out. I'm glad that he did it his way, and it'll be, I hope that this empowers him and makes him a more consistent, confident player on the floor and gets him peace off of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think if anything, Joe, this could be something that helps Kevin take some of that burden off of him, that weight off of his shoulders, allows him to be more open, allows him to be more honest, allows him to maybe be more free now that this is out there and he doesn't have to hide this anymore and he doesn't have to keep this from other people. I think LeBron mentioned it. On Twitter, he said, "You're even more powerful now than ever before, at Kevin Love. Salute and respect, brother." I think, in the past, maybe some of these things that come out in the NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, could be looked at a different kind of way. And I think it's kind of shifted with DeMar DeRozan talking about his battle with depression. Now Kevin being more open about this. I think it shines a light on that these guys are human beings. They're dealing with real problems. And even though fans see them as these role models and these stars and these guys who do amazing things nightly, and they should be able to just block out everything that's going on in their life and focus on basketball and winning a championship and things like that, it's just another example that there are real issues that these guys are dealing with, and if they internalize it too much, it's going to be something that's going to be a burden on them for who knows how long.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great point, Chris. And then, I mean, if you think about teammates, basically their chief complaint of Kevin is that he's what? Is that he's soft.
Right.
And so when you apply the stigma of mental health to the knock on Kevin already, that it can be a bad combination. So I think that DeMar DeRozan coming out, you know, no one would call him soft. Mm-hmm. And talking about it this way really opened the door for Kevin. So now, instead of being viewed as soft and this is another nail in that coffin, now it's almost more revelatory, as in, oh, this is what he's dealing with. You know, this explains things. And again, I see this as very positive.
When you talk about it from Kevin's standpoint, what do you think it means for his career moving forward?
Well, I was wondering about that. I you know, because the fact remains now, and this is something that's out in the open, that people know, that other teams know that he has to deal with. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, if things go the wrong way here this year on this team, you know, the Cavs could have looked to move him. That could be more difficult. And then Kevin certainly would think that he's in line for one more big contract, probably not quite as big as the one he's on now, but one more big one. Does this hurt that? I mean, those are fair questions. You certainly hope the answer in both cases is no, this has no effect, but, you know, I think that teams will do their due diligence to see how he's coping and managing, because, I mean, the fact is, these things have cost him at least two games, and so it has impacted his play, and he's going to need to show that he is in fact getting them under control.
And it seems, and this is just one person tweeting it, LeBron, a teammate, it seems like this is something that his teammates now, when it comes to the Cavs, they'll rally around him. Maybe it can help galvanize the team even more. And maybe now some of the things that he used to get, I don't know that picked on is the right word, but attacked for or criticized for, maybe some of that will start to fade a little bit, don't you think?
Well, I do, Chris. And then the other thing is, like, in their brief times together where it's just been LeBron and Kevin, they've always been successful.
Yeah, right.
You know, when Kyrie was out and it was just Kevin and LeBron, they played great together. And then this year, they played great together. It wasn't until Isaiah showed up that Kevin kind of fell apart and, you know, LeBron didn't play as well either. So, you know, it was those two tearing up the league when they won 19 or 18 and 19.
Mm-hmm.
And now with the new team as currently constructed, they really need Kevin. They need him as that bona fide second scoring threat. And so this is great. This is like, you know, kind of the way, as you said, like kind of a rallying cry, kind of bringing everybody closer together. And here you have like the two stars now that they must have to do anything in the playoffs for real.
Yeah.
LeBron and Kevin and kind of a path forward for the two of them.
Yeah, I think moving on to the basketball and what this means for the Cavs moving forward, just Kevin on the precipice of coming back, coming off that broken bone in his left hand. He's been working out. He's been taking shots. We see him more and more and more. You start to visualize maybe how it's going to look with Nance Jr. next to Kevin Love and how it's going to look with Kevin Love in certain lineups with some of these new guys like Jordan Clarkson, Rodney Hood, and George Hill. Do you think it's fair to say at this point, everybody knows the reason why nobody's discounting the Cavs is because they've got LeBron, and nobody dictates terms of a postseason series the way that LeBron does.
Yeah.
But is it fair to say that the Cavs, and whether they get to the NBA Finals or not, will have a direct correlation on whether Kevin can play like an all-star consistently in the postseason?
Yeah, I'm really starting to think that that's true. And I just think, you know, the Raptors are really good. And like, you're just starting to wonder if they have gotten past the part, like the point where LeBron could beat them on his own.
Right, right.
And so, yeah, I think you're right.
So I was just thinking about that the other night. Like, this is a different Eastern Conference. This is a different level of competition that the Cavs haven't seen in the past.
I think that for the first time in a long, maybe the first time in his whole career, Chris, he has not been necessarily that tide that automatically lifts all boats.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to figure out exactly why that is, because it's not like his numbers are great, and he can play with alarming speed still and power. So I'm not exactly sure why this is. I guess I haven't given it enough thought. But the bottom line is, you're right. This year he has been shown to be kind of unable to push a team through some of the problems that exist. I mean, he certainly couldn't do it in January.
Mm-hmm.
And even now, you know, these four losses that they had, you know, they were kind of close, or close to times. They were in position to win all the games.
Yeah.
But he didn't do it.
Yep.
So I think more than in years past, like, he needs some of these guys to be able to handle this late.
Did you know that 1 in 6 Northeast Ohioans struggle with hunger? Many people in Northeast Ohio are forced to make tough choices. Unexpected expenses, prescription costs, and rising heat costs are all things that can prevent people from being able to put food on the table, and they are forced to make tough decisions, which often results in hunger. But you can help. Each dollar that you donate to the Harvest for Hunger campaign will result in 4 meals. So donate today by visiting harvestforhunger.org. Help feed your neighbors. Cleveland.com is a sponsor of the Greater Cleveland Food Bank's Harvest for Hunger campaign. All right, switching over to questions. We've got a bunch of them that came in on Twitter. Some of them are related to the lineup changes that the Cavs have made recently. Some of them are related to other things off the court. So we'll rip through these, Joe. This one comes from L.A. Brodus. He says, what can the Cavs do to address the center position specifically? I feel like we are extremely undersized.
I think they are set up the way they want to be. I think that Larry Nance gives them the kind of player that they want there.
Yep.
You know, they are not, like, the Cavs definitely do not want to be a plodding, you know, hulking team. You know, again, they had that guy with Timofey Mozgov, and they didn't need to move off of him, and they did. You know, they could have brought him back, and instead he got paid with the Lakers. So, you know, that's not the kind of guy they want. You know, Larry, since he came here, is averaging 1.3 blocks per game. You don't need anything more than that.
Yep. And he's been really good in other aspects defensively, too. Blake Griffin was talking about just how his hustle and him defending post-entry passes and boxing out DeAndre Jordan, hitting him first, and all those kinds of things. He's been really good at those little things that I think are showing up more here in Cleveland, in part because the Cavs didn't have dudes that were willing to do those kinds of things, and showing up more here in Cleveland than L.A., But about the center position, Tristan Thompson, Ty said after his press conference, just, you know, letting it be known, Tristan's going to be out for 2 weeks. His ankle that I saw without the boot last night was really, really, really swollen. So because of that, and because Jeff Green is dealing with his lower back soreness and Kevin Love remains sidelined, do you think they're going to go out and bring somebody else in to take that roster spot that was occupied by Marcus Thornton? And do you think it's going to be a big guy?
Well, there's still another roster spot. And it would be a big guy, but the question remains is who. You know, I haven't looked at the available free agents lately. I don't recall Tyson Chandler being bought out.
Nope.
And I don't recall Nerlens Noel being bought out.
Right.
So, you know, unless one of those two guys hit the market and I'm missing it, I don't know that there is a guy out there that they could bring in that could impact their rotation and help them win games in this way. I mean, you know, Kobe Altman was genuinely, and I don't mean to make this sound like he was excited that Tristan's hurt, because he isn't, but he was excited to see Ante Zizic get a chance again. And after falling flat on his face the first time he got a chance earlier this year, we have to give him credit. He played all right. If he could play like that against better teams, then they don't need to make a move. Now, that's asking a lot. That's a lot of assumption there. But they want to see how this plays out. I mean, there's no deadline to sign somebody. You just have to do it by the end of the regular season. They've done this on the final day of the regular season twice. With Dante Jones, and then they also did it with Eddie Tavares. So, you know, there's plenty of time to do this, see how this works out, see what happens with Tristan, and go from there.
But to my knowledge, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on this.
I will.
Anybody that they sign could not currently be on an NBA roster, right?
Correct.
Okay.
That is the deadline, but that is for the team that's releasing the player.
Yes.
You know, the Cavs are not in that position.
That makes sense. This one comes from NY Buckeyes. He says, after last night's good game and with Tristan hurting, do you expect to see Ante Zizic get more and more action in the next couple of weeks?
Yes.
I would agree. And I think you brought it up. The changes that he has made for his game, going down to Canton and working every single day, busting his butt with Vitaly every single day. I think you saw a little bit of the evidence of that last night against Detroit. He didn't look overwhelmed, and I thought the first time he got an opportunity, he looked overwhelmed.
Absolutely. I mean, listen, the first time he got an opportunity was a start against the Sixers.
Yep.
It was in early December, and it went so badly. In 5 minutes, the Cavs were down by 10. They pulled Zizic, didn't play the rest of the game, played 2 minutes in their next game against the Hawks, which they also won, kind of going away. And he didn't play again for like 20 games. Didn't play at all. Basically kind of banished to the G League. So he went down there, and credit to him and credit to the Cavs development people. He came back better, and that, you know, that speaks volumes for the G League and for the Cavs developmental staff, and you know, for this idea of expanding the G League, which is a different conversation, but it's on a lot of people's minds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was really good. I hope for Zizic's sake and for the G League's sake that this continues.
Kevin says, when Love comes back, anyway, JR goes to the bench, we start Love, Nance, LeBron, George Hill, and Rodney Hood.
Well, you know, you and I have talked about this before, and I think the answer is yes, there's a chance.
I think,
I don't know if it was the last podcast or two podcasts ago, we kind of talked about this very thing where they wouldn't just introduce Rodney into the starting lineup with the idea that they were going to kick him out when Kevin came back. So I think, you know, JR is in some kind of rut right now. He was held scoreless last night. Yes, a couple games ago, he scored 19, but it was all in the second half. He was shut out in the first half of that game. His previous games were bad. He threw soup at Damon Jones, you know, whether or not Damon was guilty as well, I'm sure he was. But, you know, it's been a rough time for JR, and if Rodney Hood catches fire, you've got a chance there. So I think there is a chance that that's.
Sean says, who do you think is better equipped to start with Love and LeBron, Nance Jr. or Tristan Thompson? He goes on to say the offense seems to flow much better with Nance in the lineup, and it appears he can free things up for Love when he comes back.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you would say Nance. That threesome of Nance, LeBron, and Rodney Hood just dominated the other night.
Yep.
I mean, they were much quicker than the Pistons and Nick Drummond, whose numbers were fine. Like, he just didn't make much of an impact. And, you know, you had those three Cavs just kind of zipping around all over the place.
And I just think nowadays in the NBA, Joe, it is very, very difficult to run any lineup when one of those guys is not a legitimate offensive scoring threat. And there are things that Tristan Thompson can do well, but his limitations offensively, I think that just gives a break to a defense that when Larry Nance Jr. is out there, Not saying that he's Kevin Love, not saying he's Channing Frye, but the threat of him being able to make those shots from the mid-range and the threat of him rolling to the basket and using his athleticism for high lobs, he's just more of an offensive threat, and the Cavs have been at their best when they've got five offensive threats on the court at the same time.
Well, I mean, there's no question about that, Chris. And then the other thing is, if you think about where Tristan was the most successful during his time here,
yep.
It was when, I mean, you had Kyrie, yep. Kevin, and LeBron.
Yep.
You know, Kyrie's not coming back. and a player like that is not on this team. And so they kind of, like going back to what you said, they need that scoring option.
Yes.
And Larry Nance, I mean, he's not going to score 22 a night, but he's getting a lot of room to work here. And so far he has been, he has shown to have a, you know, more complete offensive game than Tristan has. And since you don't have that killer number two scorer in Kyrie, you know, you could use a guy that can put the ball in the hole. So that would be Nance.
All right, do you have time for one more?
Yeah.
All right, so this one comes in. What do you make of Chris Sheridan's tweet today saying with certainty that LeBron will leave this summer and backing it up with having been right in 2014 and in other instances? The guy wants to know, does he have inside knowledge or is this just posturing by him? Did you see his tweet, by the way?
No, I didn't. You know, he did this... He did the same thing over the summer.
Yes, in August.
So,
you're right.
You know, I mean, whatever. I am supremely confident that he that whomever he's talking to is not, you know, among the you know, the inner circle for LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
You know, beyond that. I'm just not in the business of doing this. I'm just not in the business of you know, disparaging other reporters and whatnot. I mean, I don't believe that he is currently employed by someone else as a reporter in our league, but he's had a long career, certainly doing that and worked for some great stops at the Associated Press and ESPN. So, I don't know. I mean, there's been lots of conversations with all the guys close to LeBron, including LeBron, in which there's no suggestion that decision has been made, or even that it's more likely that he leaves than doesn't leave. So to say with 100% certainty, that would almost have to be like Dan Gilbert telling him that in no way will I bring back the greatest player of all time, which I've had several conversations with people close to Dan who have said that he would not say that. So I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. You know, I mean, there's many more fish to fry between now and July 1 before we get to that.
So I think that's true, and I think that's fair. But I want to talk about Philadelphia in particular. Because they had the billboards, and it's not team-related. The 76ers didn't do this. It was a company based in Philadelphia. They had the billboards in Cleveland. They're going to be up for about 3 months. The Cavs recently played the 76ers, where Embiid looked great. Simmons looked great. The Sixers won. The Sixers are a team that's in playoff contention right now. They're probably going to make it to the playoffs unless they completely collapse or something crazy happens at the bottom of the Eastern Conference. Ben Simmons is somebody that LeBron considers a protege. He obviously shares the same agent with him in Rich Paul. Because Rich Paul has Ben Simmons, he now has an understanding of the inner workings of the 76ers organization. He's got relationships with people within the 76ers organization. Brett Brown is considered a very good head coach. So when you combine all of those things into the mix, do you think Philly and LeBron is a real possibility in the offseason?
It just doesn't seem so, because... It just doesn't seem like he would be going to another miserable weather city that where he has no time.
He has
no time. The roster, as you mentioned, is in excellent shape. If you were to have someone like LeBron, I don't know that LeBron has access to Joel Embiid's medical reports. that guy is awesome. He's a freak. He's a total baller, but he's got real back and knee issues, and it's unclear how long he's going to be able to make it in this league. And that's been talking with a lot of Sixers people. So does LeBron want to hang his hat on that nail? You know, going out there, like, it's kind of like the only piece that fits is that they have an intriguing roster. In Cleveland, I mean, he obviously has virtual autonomy within the organization. He has, immense ties, obviously, to the community and to the team and to the city and his birthright and all that. Are they going to the finals right now? Maybe. But if they do, then that's four straight with Cleveland. I don't know that you break that string to go to another team in the Eastern Conference. I just have a hard time with it. And then in L.A., the roster, as of this moment, the rosters there are challenging. Mm-hmm. But he's got a home there. He's got businesses there. The weather's great. Everybody wants to live there.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense. And then even, the Rockets, where I don't believe LeBron has a personal, affinity for the city, living there, but, they've got a great roster set up. They have a chance to beat the Warriors. And it's in the Western Conference. The weather's better. And so, that would make more sense to me. There are some things that should be intriguing to him from Philadelphia, but at the end, I just don't see that.
Richard Jefferson said the other night when we talked to him, nobody knows, nobody saw Miami coming. Not a ton of people saw Cleveland coming when it happened, maybe in the future, but when it happened, the timing of it, not a lot of people saw that coming either. So obviously things can change, and there might be a team that nobody is thinking about that just appeals to LeBron, or there's something that a team does in the off season prior to free agency that paves the way for him going somewhere else. But as of now, how many realistic options do you think there are for him besides Cleveland?
I mean, a few. I think there are very few, and I think that had a lot to do with LeBron being so upset about pushing them to make the moves that they made.
Gotcha.
Just because he knows that his options aren't great. And I also think that there's a large part of him that wanted to find a way to stay in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
It remains to be seen if what they did at the trade deadline was good enough, but it was certainly a strong effort to try to pave the way for his return. So, the Cavs are in a better spot than they were a month ago, I can tell you that.
Is Miami a realistic option?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, they have some things they have against, weather, familiarity. I think there's some challenges there roster-wise.
Yeah.
That he may not want to deal with again. I wouldn't dismiss them out of hand.
Mm-hmm. Houston.
Well, I already said they were.
Okay.
That they were. They had pieces.
All
right, I'm boarding. My goodness.
Last one. San Antonio. Realistic or no?
I don't think so.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. I don't know that Pop wants to coach LeBron, and I don't know that LeBron wants to play for Pop. And, listening to Rodney Hood talk about the differences between Utah and Cleveland, and talking about how in Cleveland what they do is matchup-based. That is because that allows LeBron to take advantage of whomever he's playing against at all times. He's not encumbered by a system. LeBron, at this stage in his career, isn't going to want to go to a system and have to fit into a piece and have to butt heads with a Hall of Famer like Popovich, which is definitely what would happen. So I don't see that.
All right, buddy. Safe travels. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, brother.
All right.